Welcome to the Raise Up Podcast. I'm Athena and
I'm Charlie Grimm.
And we are here to just share with you about cool things that we've got going on in Anchorage, Alaska with the businesses, our life, the people that we do community and life with, and we think that it'll be super valuable for those who have an interest in just growing and learning and running an effective business and overcoming challenges. And so thank you for coming and listening to us. And we hope that you join us for every single podcast that we do. So with that being said, Charlie, what is something significant that that you think about when, like, how this whole thing got started between us? Like, we're business partners, we have a family together. Like, what's the thing that just kind of like stands out with you when this whole thing started between you and I?
Well, I mean, it was 23, almost 24 years ago. So,
ooh,
it was a long time ago. Looking for that retirement check. So, you know, I mean, it's definitely a challenge. It's definitely, it's got its great high sides and it's got its low sides. You know, we kind of bring home work sometimes, and sometimes work's good to have at home too. It's grown massively. It's grown big. It's a lot of responsibility, but we have some great team members and great people that work with us. So it makes it fun.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's how I explain people about my life is it's a lifestyle, and it's a lifestyle that I've got to make the decision on within reason. Of course, we want to serve our customers and we want to do the right thing for our team members. And we want to do what we see as good and right in the community. But it's this idea of I get to choose how I'm spending my time and our family. And I think one of the things that's really one of the more precious things is that we have more access to our children than maybe some people do because of our choice to homeschool them. And so it's like our family is just this ball of Grimms going on, and we spend a lot of time together.
We do. I mean, you know, the kids are great to be at home, and we know they're safe and secure, and they both work in the business too. They both help us at the shop. So it is a family-run business. So, I mean, it does make it nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And just seeing how they grow within their own little spaces of entrepreneurship. And our daughter works in the HR department.
She's driving now.
Yeah, she's driving. And our son is more hands-on working in the detail stuff. And
our other son helps us with IT. And
yep. It's become quite this like thing that has just grown beyond us. And when I look back when we started and this whole thing just started because you thought that there could be this better service for limousines. And so maybe you could just like elaborate on that story a little bit.
Well, I mean, I think a few of us were somewhat young business professionals, had landscaping, lawn maintenance, painting companies, property management companies, all these different things that we all kind of used to kind of hang out together. And we just realized that it wasn't too safe to go out and have a couple cocktails and drive home. And so we used to make friends with some of the limo companies and we'd rent them and take them out. And it was kind of fun and nobody had to worry about drinking and driving and getting taken home, and everybody's car was there and everybody made it home safe. So you know, we just kind of went on that whole regimen, I would say, and just said, hey, I think we could do this better. They'd be cleaner. They'd be nicer cars. They'd be branded. They would be nice. So I talked Brent into becoming business partners and basically start our own limo company. And we never knew it would be just into a transportation company. We're just thinking about party buses and limos and that whole Mondro. And we knew everybody in our peers and our groups. And so we kind of just got on from there and just kind of grew from there. And that was in 2000. So now 24 years later, you know, where we're at now, people are where we're at then. I remember going to Vegas and buying our first 2 6-passenger limousines and just a 20-passenger. It wasn't even a party bus then.
It wasn't. It was like this, like, tick, just tick. A shuttle tick, bus.
Tick, yes. Tick. It was, yes. We nicknamed it Tick Tick. So because the motor ticked. So it was a shuttle
it never
bus.
Never not ticked.
It was a shuttle bus from the day we bought it. And then we just kind of made it nicer interiors and put some lights in it, TV and a stereo system. And that was the party bus. That was back when limo buses weren't as popular then and they weren't building them as much. And so we made our own kind of. And that was the group party. You could put 20 people on the bus and had a little TV up on the top and stereo systems and lights.
And And I remember that drive from Las Vegas to Anchorage. And oh my gosh, the one limo I was driving, the headlights kept flickering off and on. Brent was driving the other limo in front of me, and I was just watching his taillights. And eventually I just was like, all right, well, it is what it is. We're just going to keep going.
Well, you and I were in the same car. So, I mean, you were driving, I was driving, and then we had Brent and Scott, and then we had Lance only had the only one that had a CDL at the time, so he can only drive the bus. And
yeah, and you remember there was something going on with the heat on the bus, so he was in full Carhartt gear.
Yeah. Well, it was a Las Vegas bus. It was never expected to see 20 below.
Yeah,
so. That was a venture trip coming all the way up the Alcan.
Yeah, and that was like the first of many adventure trips.
Yeah,
up
that's
the
your
Alcan.
Fast of it. Yeah, we picked up the 10 passenger. We realized that the 6 passenger wasn't big enough. So within a year, we picked up one of the first Tiffany 10 passenger limousines. I think that was like 2001. We did it shortly right after 2000.
Yeah, and then the first SUV limousine in the state of Alaska.
That was another accomplishment. That was like 2001 or 2002. We decided to get an SUV four-wheel drive limousine that was a 16-passenger. You and I drove that back together.
Yep. That was right after 9/11. And I remember, oh my gosh, that I'm like, we have to stop and see Ground Zero or we're never going to see it. And you're just like, at the very last minute, you're like, urge,
well,
and turned.
Let's back that train up a little bit. So we get to the place where we're picking it up and basically, this guy has in this two-car garage, and he's checking all the fluids for us, and we're buying this thing, and he owns like a gas station / limo company in Queens, New York.
Didn't we buy that on eBay?
We bought it on eBay. That's where we used to buy most of our stuff back in the day because that was the only one that was really hosting limos.
I think people thought we were crazy. They're like, you're buying an SUV limo on eBay?
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, we're going to try it.
Taking the money with us down there and buying it, yeah. So anyways, yeah, I remember us getting it there, and we were looking at that thing, and it was just the way it drove and how long the wheelbase was. We're like, can you just get it on the road so we can just go straight? And I told Athena, I was like, hey, we're just going to keep going straight until I get used to driving this thing. And thank God there, the gas stations are on the highway and you just pull off the highway and get right back on the highway. It was not there. And so she was really wanting to see where the 9/11 happened, where the Twin Towers fell.
Yeah, I just felt compelled to go like pay my respects to that area.
Yeah. It was a stressful day driving that through New York and through the streets.
Narrow
and
alleyways.
You guys know how everybody double stacks and parks their vehicles. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be horrible. But we got there and then I remember we had some flip phones back then. I think that's what was our photo. And I think we had a Polaroid with us and we jumped out and she's like, guys, like, okay, we can only be like 5 minutes. And we double parked and I'm thinking somebody's going to tow this thing. Then I'm thinking to myself, who can tow this thing? And this thing's huge. It was like 34
Nobody's
feet
gonna
long.
Tow it.
Yeah. So we put the hazards on real quick. We ran over. We took a bunch of pictures, and we ran back to the vehicle and then drove off.
I don't even know where those pictures are now.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know either.
It's like
17,000 phones ago, and I mean, who's carrying their Razor Flip anymore?
Yeah, that was back then when cloud storage wasn't a thing.
It wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, you fast forward from that, and we drove that all the way back up the Alcan again, and that we made that trip back. Was it 2 days and 23 hours?
It was round-the-clock driving. You know, I don't even remember it feeling like we were just riding the train, and it was like it just felt fine. Like
because we were 24 years younger.
That's true. That's probably true.
And Red Bull, I think, just came out, and I think we were just getting our first Red Bulls in us back in the day.
I think you're right.
Yeah. But I remember when we broke down and had that vehicle, that shop, and you and I fell asleep in the back, and the guy was boom, 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 and we were sleeping in the back for like 3 hours. He was beating on our door, saying it's fixed. And we're saying, all right, let's get out of here. So.
And you remember that limo had the fish tanks in it.
So back in the day, if you remember, those fish tanks you could get that
were like
really,
tubes.
There were tubes, and they had little mechanical fishes you would give for kids or something. We thought they'd be so cool until we got back to Alaska and they froze.
they broke
and then they cracked.
I don't even know why we didn't think about that, but it was like we parked the car outside.
It was summertime when we bought it, and it wasn't wintertime, and it was springtime. So,
yeah, those tubes became not a thing anymore.
Yeah, that's how the whole limousine market kind of changed in Anchorage, and it really did. I mean, everybody was the traditional town car and everything else like that, and we wanted to do something differently. So it did make a big difference. I mean,
you know, and I don't even know why it didn't occur to other people before we came along because – we live in the Arctic. There's a lot of snow. We need four-wheel drive. Like, It's a thing.
Well, and that cost was much more expensive for the SUVs, the bigger limos. So I think that was a factor there too. And you know, how often were they being utilized? So, I mean, I think we have that mantra that we in ourselves that, you know, we're going to try it. We're going to see if we can make it work. And yeah. if it doesn't, then we're going to make it work, you know? And so
we're going to try to figure it out to where it works out in some way.
We've kind of had a lot of things like that before. So, I mean, it did work out. It was fine. I remember I even doing the podcast with Bob Lester on the way up.
Oh yeah, well you were on the radio doing a blow by blow of where you guys.
I can't remember if that was a Hummer.
No, that was the Hummer. That wasn't the SUV. Hummer, yeah. So that was the second SUV that we got.
But we had to get the SUV up here in a certain time because we had it rented like 2 days later after we got here.
Yeah.
So we were already taking pre reservations for it.
Yeah. Yes.
To get it out. So, but it was the look of the town.
Yeah, it got a lot of attention, and it was special, and it's, you know, it's in Alaska's history, really.
We had that for a while too. So it was a good limo for us. Yeah. It was a really good limo.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool to be a part of. But you know what I think about BAC has really become this entity in our community of we're not just the person that touched you at prom where you're riding a limo. We're also the company that your kids come to work at for the first time through our ambassador program at the airport. And then we're also that person or that company that picks you up at the airport when you're coming back from your honeymoon. And it's remarkable to think about all of the different threads that BAC is a part of just in our region of how we touch people. And when we decided, I wanted to talk about the ambassador program a little bit. So part of what BAC does for those of you who don't know us is we have this Access Ambassador program at the airport where we're doing wheelchair assistance for people who fly in on a particular airline that we work for. And we hire as young as 16 for that position. And it's so cool to see mom drops the kid off at orientation and she's just excited. They're so excited that this is their first job and that we get to responsibly and really, like in a loving way, like carry them through, like what is a 40-hour work week or what is part time? How do you clock in? Like how do you behave within a code of conduct structure? And what does that look like when you're interacting with the public and training them on customer service? And
well, I think it gives them a lot of respect too because they're dealing with people that might have some small disability or just need some help. I mean, and it gives them a chance to serve their community and serve people, and then really learn different things and the aspects of people that just might need a little help, you know, and it makes it really nice. And being the airport's so secure and they have badges and they have radios and they have tablets and they have responsibility of opening doors and getting places. It just gives them a whole new responsibility, not to knock any fast food or any first timer jobs, but I mean, to have the level of access that they do and be able to interact with adults and people and
Badge in the door,
and then making sure people are doing the correct thing as they're coming in and out too. I mean, they have responsibilities there too. So, I mean, we've had a lot of people comment on how great and how secure they feel because their kids are in a secure facility. The airport's a very secure facility.
Yeah.
So that makes a big difference too.
You know, when I've attended some of those department meetings and we have that question that we ask the staff in every meeting that we have, it's what's one of the highlights from last week. 100% of the time that in the meetings that I've attended, they're mentioning something about work. And it's not a requirement to like tell us something interesting about work. It's just we have a mix in other departments that say, oh, well, I'm looking forward to this or this happened at my house and it was great. But the ambassadors, it's like you can see into the center of them and they're just like, I helped this person and it was great.
A lot of those people are very thankful about what we do for them too. I mean, when you look at it, they are needing help getting from point A to point B. And when you have a friendly person, a friendly face and a person there, and it could be their grandkid, it could be their kid, it could be their nephew, it could be one of anybody else. They really enjoy having that touch contact with them. And when they're very nice and very helpful and take them to the bathroom or go get a bottle of water for them or even sticking around just to help one of the family members pick them up at the front of the curb, it's always that curb-to-curb service for them. And that's one of the first people they see when they come to Alaska, and it's one of the last people they see when they leave Alaska, because as we're entering or we're bringing them into the jetway bridge or we're taking them outside the the jetway bridge to their plane, we're the first and last people they see. So it could really make their day a little bit better. I mean, it just makes them smiler and has a little bit more human touch to it. And if you're really good and do it, they make really good money and tips too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another piece too. And it's like, I know we have teenagers that live in our home, and I have the good fortune of serving in a volunteer position with our daughter. And the absolute best version of her that I have ever seen is when she's serving others. And I have a feeling that we get to see the best version of some of these people that are working at the airport that their parents don't get to see because they're in service to others. And it's like, it just warms my heart to just be feeding that encouragement and fanning that flame of compassion and work ethic and responsibility.
I definitely think it's took with them. They definitely have that willingness to help other people.
Yes, I would agree with that. You know, one thing that occurred to me is I don't think that everybody knows exactly everything that BAC does in Alaska. So you want to just kind of explain that some of our different departments.
So as we started with limos. That was our big thing. We had the party bus people, limos, things like that. Then we got in to sedans, black cars, started doing more kind of services like that. Then really exploded when we got into the crew contracts and working with the airlines and being very helpful for them. So we maintain about 90% of all the airlines at the airport now, and which is a huge deal. It's making sure the pilots get to and from their airplanes, the flight attendants, making sure they're getting taught. We have training when they come up here for training. We just got an email just the other day about we have pilots who are going to get set it up for getting their new uniforms. So, yeah. I mean, it's a lot of different things. We help pilots get to and from doctor's appointments. So we're a big partner with all of our airlines, and that makes it nice. And then partnering with them other things, how we got into baggage claim delivery. When your bags don't show up on one of the airlines, we come and deliver your bags for you for several different airlines, and makes it nice because if you live in Willow or Peters Creek or something happens and you're missing that bag, you don't have to come all the way back in. So they do a great service in having that out. Then we got into the wheelchair services. Wheelchair services are another service that is a very helping service. And, you know, we have over 60 ambassadors at the airport that work on a continuous basis there 24 hours a day. And then, you know, it just came into more and more things that we do. And then we got into lot rentals, which is a different business than ours, but it was within the same compounds of the same facility, our campus. And lot rental was really good, renting spaces out for people. So, I mean, it really helped that a lot. And then we help in the community towards other things. We have another business, an ambulance service, which we'll be talking about that in another cast. But we have a wheelchair division that AMT opened up. BAC opened up first, and then we switched into AMT because we have an ambulance service too. So we provided wheelchair services for the hospitals. We do it for kidney dialysis. We do it for radiation appointments. We pick up people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Somebody comes in the hospital and they get transferred when they get brought in from an ambulance or whatever else it might be. We might come pick them up at 2 o'clock in the morning and take them from the hospital to their home. And BAC had that for quite some time. So it just grew, and we kind of stayed in the same highway, but we just kind of expanded our lanes out a little bit, but we're still going the same direction. That was always important for us.
You know, and really a lot of those contracts and things that we decided to do, we were asked, hey, are you willing to like entertain this?
Are you guys interested?
Yeah.
We're kind of having a problem with our wheelchair vendor. Are you thinking about, would you guys ever think about doing wheelchairs? We're having a problem with our baggage people. Would you think about this? I mean, but the same thing I think holds true back when we used to own CNG services. I used to just do lawn maintenance and snow plowing. And all of a sudden one of my vendors came in and goes, do you know any good painters? I can't find any painters. And I'm scratching my head. I'm like, what's it mean to paint? You know, what does it do? So I can hire some painters. So we hired some painters, and all of a sudden I was getting, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in painting contracts and really learning that business, and did that for quite some time for interior, exterior, commercial. So I don't think it's any difference than what we believe in, is that if there's a way to make it happen, we can. If it's a good way and if it makes it sense, it's profitable and it's good for the community, we kind of jump into it. So, but I think over the years we've kind of grown that being in all these different industries, sometimes we're just better to be in our kind of lanes and do it. And you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Now we're kind of building our real estate portfolio now. So that's another form of area, buying more properties, getting those set up for STRs and midterm rentals and long-term rentals. So, I mean, and then just being a part of the community. I mean, as Athena was saying earlier, and I really want to touch on, is when she was saying touch points, when we get on the airplane and we have one of our BAC vests or jackets on, I've had people tell me, oh my God, I did prom in your car. And I'm looking at this lady, I'm like, she's like 30, you know, and what year was that? You know, I'm not saying anything bad, but, and she's like, oh, I was like 18. I went to service and now my kids, we're doing birthday parties, especially this, cause we used to have this birthday party special. We still do it. You get, if you buy 3 hours more, you get pizza, ice cream. We use Tasty Freeze and Moose's Two Pizza and just add balloons and have sparkling cider in there. So there's always this element, and they remembered how cool it was when they did it. So now we have second generations doing it. We even had some third generation where we had some people that were now 20 years ago had kids, and their kids are having kids, and now they're picking them up from the hospital in a limo or
last day of school.
Last day of school or something like that. So it's interesting to hear the generations now that are into this.
I don't feel that old. Like, I don't feel that old, but I know that that's happening. And like that,
if anybody knows where the Fountain of Youth is, please send me the email and let me know where that's at.
So it's like, but yeah, I do look at that. And, you know, you brought up CNG services, and really that was the core business back when we were kind of in that entrepreneurial spirit of like, that was our core, and BAC was kind of like a side hustle. And, like we had a fundamental thing that happened within that shifted us.
So as you guys know how much snow we're getting now, there were snow dump sites. And if you didn't have a snow dump site, you couldn't really handle a lot of these big contracts. So we ended up losing one of our bigger contracts for it, which was like $1.5 million in revenue, which was a lot of money back in, you know, 15 years ago.
And it's a lot of money.
17 years ago. It's still a lot of money. But I mean, it was just devastating. So, you know, I do admit that Athena said, hey, you know, we keep working our way to the bottom. Everything was the lowest bid. Well, I'll take the lowest bid. And we were kind of into this, well, what can we do differently? And we had BAC for a few years, and it was just getting itself off the ground. And, you know, it had momentum. I think our first year we did right 80 or 90,000. We only had two limos and a small little bus and very low advertising. That's when the Yellow Pages were big. Yeah. That's when we were all putting Yellow Page ads, $1,000 a month. You're like, $1,000. But, you know, it really took off. And then second year, I think we did over $200,000 or $300,000. Then we just bought more limos, buses. Then we bought the Hummer. That was the first one to bring the Hummer up. And then all of a sudden, 5 years later, we're up to $500,000, $750,000. And we're like, well, this is taking off. And so Athena is just like, you know, why are we messing around with the plowing? It takes so many people. Everybody's just waiting for work, you know. Yeah. Why don't we stick to more of just building BAC? And I just really thought about it. I thought, you know, this is a great idea, and really jumped into the tourism market and jumped into corporate. Corporate is really where we're biggest at right now. Tourism is second, but corporate's one of our biggest accounts of just working with our partners. And it was just a great move. It was not a lot of people were doing it as much, and we didn't have to race our way to the bottom. We could be competitive. It was we found good deals on vehicles, and we just kind of grew that market and just kept growing it. And we got that magic phone call one night. I remember I was sick as a dog and had World Airways. They're not even with us around anymore. And World Airways calls me up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and says, hey, are you guys do crew transportation? I'm like, you know, we've looked at it, but it just didn't seem like it paid
enough. I can still picture you walking out of the bathroom on that phone call.
I wasn't even in the bathroom. I was on the recliner in the couch at our house of Casey. And I remember getting that phone call. It was like 3 in the morning. I'm like, well, how much do you pay and to do transport? She goes, well, how much do you charge me? I'm like, well, I don't know. Why don't you just let me know what you're asking for, what you're doing? And she kind of gave me a rough idea. I'm like, yeah, we can work for that. And I was like, when do you need somebody to start? And she's like, can you pick up people tonight? I'm like, tonight, you know? So which we would have thought was just a one-time use or a couple times use or whatever else turned into a full contract. And thank God we got that one first, because that was the most difficult contract ever.
In record, like history of the company, that was the most challenging like client to navigate. And it wasn't that the people were difficult. It was the way their system was built that we had to do. Like, you remember
that? We did all the legwork.
The decoder that they would send us, like, oh my gosh.
Or then they'd send us a trip and says, hey, you got to pick up at Elmendorf to go pick up somebody at Elmendorf. And we go to Elmendorf. And I was like, well, hey, where's the crew we're dropping off? And like, oh, there's no crews to drop off. And I'm like, we're picking up the crew. What's it going to happen with the plane? She's like, well, I don't know. We don't have any of that information, but just go pick up the crew. And then I'm scratching my head. I'm thinking, man, we have an outbound crew. We have an inbound crew. The inbound should have an outbound. And then like an hour before they're, hey, we got a crew that needs to go to outbound. I'm like, you know, we'd be like, okay, can we work through this puzzle? Right. Can we get it all there? But it turned out great. And then once we picked them up and then other airlines noticed, then it really just came there. Then partnering up with Swissport and Pegasus and all the different airlines. And the airport was great to work with. They were really excited about having a new vendor out there. And, you know, we were really looking on punctuality. We were looking at cleanness of vehicles. We were looking at uniforms.
We were coming
for the employees.
From that like black car chauffeured mindset where that's not where crew transportation lived at the time.
No, they were always just using whatever ground helder was using them. So that was a big thing for us to have uniformed and people and our vehicles looking really nice and buffed out and cleaned out. And that's always been kind of our staple.
Yes, I would agree with you on that. And, you know, so I remember when we made that shift, it was a little, we'd already stepped off the cliff of entrepreneurship when we decided that we were going to go into business for ourselves.
And, oh, yeah, the mobile ad trucks too. You
know, we've done a lot of things, but, you know, one of the things that we're really known for is these like different revenue streams within our life, in our businesses.
Oh, in our industry. I mean, everybody, when we go to a show, everybody asks, you know, how do you guys get in these different industries? Because yeah. I think a lot of people get so stuck that we're a black car agency and, you know, and there's been some disruptors in our system that yeah. just doesn't make black car just as affordable as much as it used to be. Now there's other ways for people to do different modes of transportation. So we have to be inventive. We have to relook at it all the time and saying, how can we be to that next level? And I think that's where we've kind of shined, is that we weren't scared to jump into something and try it and yeah. see if it worked and see if it stuck. That's why throw it on the wall and see if it sticks.
Yeah. And I think that's like, that has been a mantra of ours, is we're not carrying forward with a spirit of fear like this. Really, I mean, I'm known for saying often that we're just going to run the experiment and see what happens. I don't see anything that's going to harm us, really.
That's her life. That's what she says with everything.
Yeah, well, it's fun. It's
fun. We're on the guinea pig cage once in a while.
It's fun. It really is. And
but
so
it's worked out for us.
It has.
It has definitely tried it, you know, having the space before our storage company, you know, we had all this open lot and people are saying, hey, can I park something there? And I'm like, oh, sure, you know, and I'd have a few friends and I'd park in boats, and buddy Adam left a boat there for a year and a half, and then all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden people are like, hey, can I rent a space from you? I'm like, whoa, bingo. And then I was like, all right. And then all of a sudden we had 260 clients within a couple of years yeah. of people parking their stuff on our Connexes, all these different things. And we thought, hey, this is really great. So then all of a sudden Just Store It came up. You know, we just had a company called Just Store It, and we started storing people's stuff and putting it there. And that was a whole other revenue stream that we didn't realize, you know.
Well, and something that I think that has rang true for us is that we understand this like sustainable business model in general. And so it's applicable to all of these other things that we're involved in now. We know that we have to be in the green. We know what it is to be profitable. We know what it is to be able to have employees with us that are helping us fill in those gaps so that we can get out ahead and do these other things that are also going to bring in new ideas.
Well, it's like the secret sauce. I mean, we have the 85 percentile there. We just got to learn the other 15% of how that works and how we can make it and improve it. I mean, a lot of people have things, but they're technology not good. They're not this. They're so it's, we have the secret sauce. I call it the 85 percentile of what we know, what's going on and how to run the business. We just got to sometimes learn that part. As the wheelchairs and doing SSRs and doing the rental contracts. And, you know, it always evolves. All of a sudden yeah. we have numbers, then we have lines, then we have tags, then we have tags to put in the windows. You know, it's always just like, how can we make it better, better, better?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's really like our intention was good in each area that we stepped into. It was either we're going to help you in this spot. I don't know how it's going to work out, but we're just going to roll it and see what happens. And I bring a particular set of skills to the team, and you bring a particular set of skills to the team. And at the end of the day, we are we're still here. And so that's one of the questions that I get asked quite a bit from women that are in business, is it's like, how have you managed to like be in partnership with your husband in all of these different areas? And it's like, you know, it was not so awesome the first 5 years or so because I was really immature, and I really had this like idea that I needed to be doing. And at this stage in the game, it's really more about, I get the pleasure of seeing you in almost every light, and I have a responsibility to manage that well. And so I get to see when things don't quite go as it was planning, and we have an unintended outcome when you've made a decision. I get to see when things really like rocket and it was like, oh, that was a great idea. especially when it comes to, you're always the one who's thinking forward about vehicles and accessories and all of this stuff, where I don't even have to really think about what light shows in the limo, because you're already on top of that. And you don't have to think about what's the process for this, this, and this, because I've already met with the accounting team and this is what we're doing and all of that. But it's really, it's like, I have this richness because we've gone on this journey together in my leadership style, because I understand now that I can choose to have this great experience with you, or I can choose to get stuck on things that I think aren't going so well. And I think that that's really the message for women who are working with their husbands, is you get to choose. And, regardless of what you choose, it's still going to be your choice. And what you choose is going to be how your life goes. And I really appreciate that about our relationship and who you are, because we are not the same. We have different leadership styles. We have a lot of different interests. But you've managed to balance that really well in this season of our life. And I'm so grateful.
Well, I don't know if I balance it really well, or I've just on a teetering tot and just figuring out which way to go some days. But I tell you that it is difficult, and is in your earlier age, definitely. As it's coming in a little bit later in our age now, it's more doable. But it is some sacrifices either way. I mean, you're used to doing things one way, and then you kind of give up this. And as we get more managers, we give up more responsibility. And, you know, one of the big things I love to do is make sure all the contracts were taken care of. And I always looked at what customer we had and who was going to be the best pick. And then we had some other managers came in, and we went from, 12, 15, 20 trips a month or a week in the very beginning to, we average over 250 trips, 300 trips in the summertime. Right now, I think we're averaging around 200 trips a day. And that is not a duty I want to do anymore. And so I found out that I am not the best person to do those. Even though it's so funny, it's like once in a while, the guys will call me back up and say, hey, especially in the summertime, we got multiple vehicles. We have double book vehicles. And how are we going to do this? And when I kind of scan through that thing, and I'm like, well, Bach 10's out 7 times. Why don't we just put it out one time with this one vehicle all day long, and right, we free up 4 vehicles? And
like, it's like riding a bike for you.
Well, it's second nature, because 24 years into it, we're just doing it now. So it just looks at it. But then sometimes I look at somebody else's screen. I'm like, why? And I don't even understand your screen here. But I am not the technology driven. I am not the person that is the behind the scenes more of it. I like to be in the front of the scenes and working with our customers and working on new develops and contracts and relationship bounds. I love the relationship side of it. I love to go take the lunches. I love to talk about what the problem is. How can we fix it? Can we make this work? And there's always these people that say, hey, Charlie has this dream and he paints the whole thing and then he gives it to Athena and she makes it happen. I mean, she just really comes down to the point where the nuts and bolts get tightened up on her side. She's the one that cinches down everything. She's the one that has a process for everything. She's the one that does all this stuff. And then I kind of just ride that coattail on that side and just say, okay, well, that's great, because I am not that person. I don't even have an office at our new building. I mean,
I don't really have an office either.
We don't need an office. I mean, everything can be done on a laptop or our phones, or our phone could run NASA. I mean, it's just so crazy these days and what the technology has done. So we make sure that our other managers have offices there, and we can jump into one of our war rooms, or we can run one of our conference rooms, or we have several of those. So we can work pretty much remotely anyway. And we like to travel. So, I mean, that makes it really, really nice. And especially with our kids being in homeschool, we're able to travel more. So we're able to go see places. We're getting ready to go to Vegas here in a couple hours. We're going to be leaving for Vegas for the show. And so it makes it convenient that we can do that. And we're lucky that we have relatives and friends and family here that help watch kids and our dogs. And so we're pretty blessed. We're blessed.
Yeah, we are.
So,
well, with that, we're going to leave you with, we're blessed. We hope you're having blessings in your life and your day goes awesome. And thank you for listening to us, and catch us. This is going to be fun. We're going to be talking about all kinds of crazy things.
What's our main goals? What do we live by?
Raise up.
And what is raise up?
Raise up is responsibility, accountability, integrity, service, engage, understanding, and perseverance. And, I think we understand the responsibility and accountability, but the integrity piece is not just like be honest or do the right thing. It's like be true to who you are, like your authentic person. And I explained this to the team with, don't agree to do a night shift if you're a morning person. Something as simple as that.
Stay in your lane.
Yes, yes. And then, of course, service and engagement, that's pretty self-explanatory. But kind of this idea of seeking to understand, like, we've never solved a problem that we didn't first stop and try to understand what was going on and what the goal was.
Or there's not many problems that have come up that we already haven't tackled. I mean, on the way here, there was a bumper accident today. You know,
yep.
I mean, it's what do we do? Our manager goes out to the scene, takes a look at it, figures out what's going on. We help the person. We take care of it. If it's our fault, we take it immediately and we take care of it. And if it's theirs, we work through the insurance companies how we can do it. But it's there's a process for everything that we have coming up. And there's not too many things that have come up that we haven't already incurred in the last 24 years.
Yeah, but so we've got it kind of mapped out and figured out.
There's always the leprechaun out there. There's always a leprechaun that we haven't
figured
out.
That's true.
There's not a sheik that tells me that he wants to sacrifice an animal. I mean,
that's another podcast.
But I mean, there's different things that do come up that we just have to be prepared to tackle that problem.
And I think that that's the understanding piece. But the last piece is probably one of the more important core values that we have, and it's perseverance. And it's not about just hang out and deal with things that aren't awesome or people treating you badly or whatever and just like power through it. It's about stepping into courage. And that's how I see perseverance, is that we have had to step into courage and in so many areas of our business. And I'm looking forward to sharing a lot of those stories that we
COVID.
Have. Yes, that's
a big one.
Yeah, that. But with that being said, that's Raise Up. That's what we're doing.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Hope you watch our channel.